Tonight we have one of the most interesting issues. Actually, we made a survey like a few weeks ago, and it was the question that was more asked here by you in New Community. What do I do when God is silent? And you know, as Pentecostals, as Christians, we like to feel the presence of the Lord. We like to hear the voice of the Lord talking to us. But sometimes in life, we go through moments and we feel like we are abandoned by the Lord and the Lord is not speaking to us. And tonight we're going to talk about this. And the preacher tonight is an amazing individual. He made a really, really good research in the scripture about it. And God is going to talk to us about, what do we do when he is silence? When he is in silence. So let us pray for the message tonight so God can speak to us through this series of life tough questions. Father, thank you because you are great. And we know that even though we sometimes do not hear your voice, we know that you are with us every day. You know that you are with us in every minute. And God, today we have a question for you. And we come here because we believe that you are the only one who has the answer to it. Please talk to us in this night. Amen.
Let's give it up for Nathan because he is the world's greatest announcement giver. Absolutely. And you can talk to him about how to Simpsonize yourself. I always thought that's kind of an interesting thing to do. Makes you feel good. But anyway, he is absolutely hilarious, and he's going to be speaking in this series next month, but his internship actually ends next week. So this whole series, and especially next week, has been a big project of his, and so thankful for him. So he's done a great job. This whole series has been a fun series for me because these are, I think, questions that we all deal with. And particularly tonight, we are going to focus in on the topic of silence and why silence oftentimes is so hard to deal with. This helps me in a real simple way to think about the differences that unbelievers and believers have, especially with regards to silence and sometimes suffering in the absence of silence. And some have said that since God is silent sometimes when people pray, that therefore he must not exist. And this is not a philosophically profound or even astute illustration, but it sort of helps me think about it in a simple way. A lady went to a nail shop to get her to get a haircut and to get her nails manicured. And as the beautician began to work, they began to have a good conversation about several subjects. And eventually they came around to the subject and the topic of God. And the beautician said, "I don't believe that God exists. Don't believe it at all." And the lady who was getting her nails done, her name was Cheryl, and so she says, well, why do you say that? And Cheryl happened to have MS. Well, the beautician said, you just have to go out on the street to realize that God doesn't exist. I mean, tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people in this world? Would there be abandoned children? And if God existed, there would certainly not be any of this pain or this suffering. And I can't imagine, she said, a loving God who would allow all of these things. And of course, Cheryl thought for a minute as she was sitting there, and she didn't respond because she didn't really want to get into an argument in the middle of the salon with this beautician. And so the beautician finally finished her job, and Cheryl left the shop. And just after Cheryl left the beauty shop, she saw a woman in the street that was walking by. And this lady had long and real stringy hair. She was real dirty. Her hair wasn't groomed at all. She was She looked dirty. She was unkempt. And Cheryl turned and she went back into the beauty shop. And she approached the beautician and said, "You know what? Beauticians do not exist." Of course, the beautician sat there and said, "Well, how can you say that? I mean, I'm here. I just worked on you. I exist." "No," Cheryl exclaimed, "because beauticians do not exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty, long hair and appearing very unkempt, like the woman outside." And then the beautician thought she had her because she said, "Ah, beauticians do exist. The problem is people do not come to me." And Cheryl said, "That's exactly my point." You know, when we think about God, oftentimes we talk about him as if he is some arbitrary figure that has no interaction with us here on this earth. And some people have said, because he's silent when I pray to him, therefore, he must not really exist. Maybe the idea of God really is just some notion that someone came up with because, you know, we as weak humans need something to put our faith in. And I think it's more appropriate to say, to quote Isaiah 53:6, and it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I mean, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, our minds, we live in a fallen world. And just from the start, outset of tonight, I would just like to say that when you come to the topic of silence, and a lot of people say, well, you know, sometimes I pray for the will of God to be, you know, to transpire in my life and for me to see it, and I just don't see it sometimes, and sometimes I get a yes from God, and sometimes God answers my prayers, and sometimes He doesn't. And oftentimes people have tried to put an equation to prayers, you know, if you have enough faith, then all of your prayers will be answered, or perhaps one of the reasons why your prayers don't get answered is because you have some rank sin in your life. And I would just simply say that I think God is much more profound and complex than any equation that we could ever put on Him. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in a moment where a prophet actually tried to do that. I was actually reading about this guy named Bernie Krause who records nature sounds for film and television. And he was saying that in 1968, in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed natural sound, I mean, like no airplanes, no cars, nothing, no sound except for pure nature sounds, it would take him about 15 hours of recording time in 1968. And he was saying that today, to get the same 1 hour of undisturbed sound, it literally takes him 2,000 hours of recording time. You know, it kind of reminds me of this old story in the prophets. This prophet name is Elijah. And before we move on, I just would like to recognize just someone. It reminded me. Tonight, my mom and my grandma are with me. My mom and my mama, we call her mama. And they're right over here, so why don't you guys raise your hands. This is Diane and May. They're proud. They really don't know what to think about me. You know, they're kind of Baptist people, and they don't really know what I am. So, you know, I'm sure they were kind of nervous coming here tonight and everything. So, it's all right. Y'all can relax. We're not crazy. And and they're great. My mama is she's so cool. She lives in this little small town in Alabama, Brewton, Alabama. She's so famous, the road that she lives on is named after her. Same dirt road. I don't know how long you lived on that road, Mama, all your life? 79 years she lived on the same road, named after her. She's awesome. And cooks the meanest batch of beans and peas that you would ever, it's just amazing. And anyway, so. And then my mom, she's my mom. She's cool. She introduced herself as, I'm Mike's mom. The other, you know, to someone across the table. So it's so good to have you guys here. Hope I don't embarrass the family tonight. So anyway, love you guys. So yeah, it reminds me of this story because as I started thinking about this issue of silence, I realized that we live in a very noisy world. I mean, I don't know about you. Do you like turn on the television just for like out of habit and background noise? You know, sometimes you just turn something. I'm in the car and I'll ride for an hour, and I don't know about you, I have this wonderful button on my radio called Scan, and I hit Scan, and I can scan for hours, and I don't know why. Is it the changing of music or whatever? It's like background noise, and every once in a while, I'll get, you know, sometimes I'll be driving home on a Wednesday night after New Community, and I sort of get in the zone or whatever, and I just turn off the radio. I turn off the AC, and I roll down the windows, and I just love hearing the wind, and maybe I'm just weird like that. But anyway, sometimes I just like to not have any noise except just, you know, well, the wind. There, I guess that's that noise. And the cars going by. Anyway, but there's just, there are a lot of things that can cause us to to distract us. And I would venture to say that most of the time silence is something that makes us feel very, very uncomfortable because we're just used to noise. We're used to white noise. In my girl's room, before they go to bed, we turn on a noisemaker for them to go to sleep. I still have not figured out the whole concept and the premise behind this thing. We turn on the noisemaker so that if we make noise, they don't hear it. And something still doesn't compute with me on that thing. And I used to want to be one of these guys that listened to classical music to go to sleep. I play a little bit of guitar, and I thought somehow by osmosis it would make me a better musician. And I turn on this music. I can't sleep to that. That's me, you know. So anyway, but it works for my kids, I guess. So anyway, but silence is just something that really intrigues me, and it brought me to the story in 1 Kings chapter 19 with the story of Elijah. He's just finished, like, you know, slaying all of these, you know, prophets of Baal and everything, and he's tired. He's entering into a place in his life where he's sort of depressed. He's sort of at his wit's end. And 1 Kings chapter 19, you kind of see this in right in verse 9b. It says this, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? God starts with this question. What are you doing here? It's this question of orientation. And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty, and the Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So the Lord tells Elijah to go out of this, you know, to go out on the edge of this mountain and wait for me because he's about to show up. And so he says this, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's interesting, and commentators kind of go back and forth on what this means, and some people say that this is absolutely, you know, the way that God speaks. And some commentators actually says this has nothing to do with the way God speaks. The literal translation here, though, is like a small voice. It's a quiet voice. And some people would say that the word here really is nothing about a spoken word. It's almost like this calmness that comes after a natural disaster. Where we grew up in Alabama, we have hurricanes that come up in the Gulf all the time. And I can't even recall how many hurricanes I've been through, but I can remember after some hurricanes, you could go outside and it was just absolutely kind of eerie quiet. And this is sort of the notion that you get after reading this. It's like all of these things, which, by the way, the wind and the fire and the earthquake, especially in Old Testament times, were all like things that would happen before God would show up in their time, in their period. I mean, so Elijah was used to looking at these ways for God to show up. So, you know, man, he sees fire, and surely God's going to be in that because this is the way that God would show up sometimes. And, you know, he would show up through fire or you know, something, some earthquake or a huge wind would sweep in and do something, and they would, you know, man, here comes God. We know God's going to be in this. And it's like God totally wrecks his equation of the way that he communicates to his people. Because he comes in all the ways that Elijah is familiar with, and all of that stuff happens, and then nothing. No presence of God. God does not show up, and then all of a sudden, he shows up in like this silence. This way that Elijah is not familiar with. Has God ever done something in your life that, just in a different way, oh man, I wasn't expecting that, Lord. You know, through this pain and through this suffering came some good. You know, and oftentimes we go through things and that we'd never wish on our worst enemies, and then years later we realize, oh wow, God was there in that. I don't know about you, but some of the most stressful times in my life, I mean stressful times in my life, that in the moment, if you'd have asked me how close is God, I said, I don't really know, because I can't feel it, I can't sense it. You know, I'm used to him showing up when I open up my Bible and I read, and no, he wasn't there. Oh no, okay. I know that's not gonna work. So I'm gonna pray really, really hard. So I get down and I pray with every bit of gusto I have, and I walk away from my prayer time a little discouraged. I mean, come on, we've all been there. And then, you know, okay, well that didn't work, so I'm gonna go seek counsel from someone. that I really trust, and I go get that counsel, and maybe I don't get the counsel I want. It's like I tried everything that I really know how to do, and all of a sudden, like it is with us, he shows up to Elijah in a way that he'd never expected. A few weeks ago, I can't even remember the context of it. It was a normal night here in New Community. And at the very end of the service, I think we did worship at the end. Yeah, we did worship at the end. And the very end, I came up and I prayed. And I just, you know, kind of just prayed this normal prayer. And just felt as I was walking up, you know, just to say this little something that God had laid on my heart. So just said that little something. And I don't know, maybe you've had these experiences before. And something about, like, you know, just wait on the Lord and take your time or something like that. And afterwards, someone came up to me, and it was sort of an eerie thing because they said, I came to church tonight. I usually don't come to Wednesday nights. Haven't been here in a while. And I came tonight because I told God that if you are really living and active in my life, I just need a confirmation that I'm supposed to take my time on this particular decision this person was wrestling with. And he prayed like these words, take my time. And that's exactly the words that I said. And it was just interesting to hear someone say that God came through for me tonight because of something you said. I mean, have you had these experiences before? I mean, it's like, what? I mean, I wasn't even feeling very spiritual in the moment. You know, it's not like, oh, I got it. You know, here's a message on the mountaintop. But sometimes God uses you in the same way, and no one's ever even told you. And just being faithful to that still, small, quiet voice sometimes will lead to the greatest fruit that you can ever imagine. But are we too consumed with the noise in our lives that we've kind of just blocked out that still, small, quiet voice? So in some of the most stressful times, have you been able to look back and said, you know, in the moment I didn't feel you, but after the fact I look back and see how God carried me through everything? Tonight I want to show you a video, and it's something that I did in here about a year and a half ago, and it's something that was profound for me because I've never seen it done in a service before. But I sort of just want you to get comfortable because I'm going to show you a video, and it's going to be a little maybe creepy for you because there's no music. Or there's really nothing to it. But I want you to track with this video. And as I ask questions through the video, you would sit there and answer them. But this whole video is based around the theme of silence. And after this, we're going to come back and close in a unique way tonight, and I'll wrap up with a few scriptures. But tonight, would you kind of settle your minds and your hearts just for a moment, and open up to what the Lord may have to say to you tonight. This video is called Silence. Here it is. Hebrew Scriptures, there's this concept of a peace that surpasses all understanding that the Hebrew writers call it shalom. And oftentimes this word is just a word that people throw around because it's a greeting or it's a peace be with you type thing. But this sort of peace is one that, it's like Paul writing the book of Philippians says, it'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's sort of like the best definition of shalom that I think that there is. It's sometimes when we approach the silence of God, and when I think about the silence of God, I think that oftentimes we do get the answers yes and no from God when we pray, and sometimes we get a wait. Sometimes we don't get an answer at all. But just a couple of things in closing, and something that I've just felt burdened with, at least for, I know, in my own life. I think increasingly I have become more dependent on the voices that speak into my life more than the voice of the Holy Spirit into my life. It seems like sometimes my knee-jerk reaction is to ask my closest people around me what they think about a particular decision or situation that I'm in, instead of running to the feet of Jesus. I know this may sound overly simplistic, but the question that was asked in the video is a pertinent one, and one that I think that we should all take an evaluation and let it be an evaluation of our own hearts of, are we looking for more acceptance from the people around us than from the voice of God and the direction of God in my life? When someone asks you, how was your week, and you respond appropriately, what is your gauge for that? Is the benchmark for your happiness tranquility? Or sometimes, oh, I had a real stressful week. What was stressful about it? Was it because you got a lot done at work? Perhaps it's a perspective thing. Maybe it really was a busy week, but let me ask you, were you productive? Judy mentioned earlier, it's been kind of a busy week for us. But I would say, if Judy's busy and her health is good and mental health is all good, and you guys know what I'm saying about that, the balance of this, but I would say if Judy's healthy, people around the globe are being affected by her efforts. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, Judy, I remember one time she said there was a tornado or something during Sunday school class. Oh, sorry, I couldn't be there. I had to go into work because natural disaster happened and we had to get some materials and some resources on the ground to them. I just thought, that's an amazing thing. People will be touched because of that. Yeah, it may have been a busy week. That doesn't necessarily make it a bad week. See, sometimes we benchmark things on all of the wrong criteria. You know, I had a good week. I was, you know, no conflict happened or nothing scary happened to me. So it was a good week. That's not necessarily the recipe for success in God's book. There are things that happens to us. One of the most troubling books that I have problems reading because it just challenges me is the book of James. I read the book of James and it's like, would you stop it? You know, stop telling me all that stuff, that trials and things are going to, you know, help shape me into something else. Or that problematic passage in Jesus' ministry that sometimes, you know, the vine bears fruit, but sometimes he has to prune the branches, right? And he doesn't prune them to make them look better. He prunes them because that's what has to happen for them to grow. And sometimes silence prunes me. Silence is uncomfortable. And we want God on our timetable, in our way. We want a microwavable prayer life. You know, I pop it in for a minute and a half because that's what the program said to do. And boom, that's what I get. Elijah is on his wits' end. God's about to show up. And you know what? He can prescribe how God's going to show up because he knows God will show up in either the earthquake or the fire or the wind, because this is how he's always shown up. Then it's sort of like you get this perplexing question of, wow, God was in the aftermath of all that, like the sheer silence, and it just throws him for a curveball. Don't we just love the curveballs? I hate them, but oftentimes these are the things that God reveals himself with. I think C.S. Lewis once said that God screams at us in times of adversity, in times of trials. Other times he may whisper, but if we would listen. And I just want to share this tonight because I think sometimes we put God in too small of a box to speak to us. And my prayer life, I have a little bit of a unique prayer life, I feel like, because I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it. And I'm glad there are no right and wrong answers to prayer life. And isn't that a very liberating thing? I was talking to one of my friends one time. I said, I don't know if I would share this with a lot of people because I don't want people thinking that this is necessarily the way to do it. But one of the things I do in my prayer life, and this is going to sound crazy, but like the first sometimes 15 to 25 minutes of my prayer life is not saying anything at all. I don't know about you, but I live in a lifestyle that where I have a lot of things going on in my mind, balancing a lot in my schedule, and I have to have time where I focus and I get my head around what God is doing in my life, and God solely is in the forefront of my mind. And when that happens, is when I feel like my prayer life or my devotion that day just started, because it just connects right there. Now, others, I've heard some people say, you know, I get in my prayer closet and I just pray and I don't care how I feel and I just pray. And that's great. And I do that as well sometimes. And we do have to all do that from time to time. But one of the forgotten disciplines of our spiritual formation is a life of solitude and silence. You hear about people crying out to God, especially in the Psalms, as if you're peering over the shoulder of someone praying. You know, when you read the book of Psalms, you do see people crying out to God and making sounds. But then you always see the total opposite of that, like in Psalms 4:4, to search your heart and to be silent. And sometimes in our lives, in the busyness and the noisiness of it, we try to equate God to a certain way to speak to us. And so to answer the question that was asked by a lot of people in this group, what do we do when God is silent? I think you do the same thing that you've always done. Just keep listening. But sometimes God shows up in the earthquakes and the wind and the fire. And sometimes He shows up after it. And sometimes He just shows up in sheer silence. The honest answer is, in part, I don't know. I don't know why some things happen. And I don't know all these questions. And none of us are going to do that. It harkens back to the first message of this series of why sometimes we don't want faith. We want knowledge, because knowledge gives us power. But faith doesn't always have all the right answers and all the answers. But that's why we trust in a God that knows all those things. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. And we can trust in that and we can rest in that. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, thank You so much that sometimes You do show up in the ways that we're used to, in the ways that we hear You most frequently. But sometimes, Lord, You're in the silence and we don't understand that. But Lord, all we know is that Your Son oftentimes withdrew to be silent, to get alone with God. And oftentimes, Lord, when we are desiring to hear You in a certain way, or maybe we have a sense of entitlement about us where we've put in our prayers and we've said and we've done all the right things and we've been obedient for X amount of time, and now we're looking for our answer, and it seems like we don't believe in works-based salvation, but oftentimes some of us, it seems, may believe in works-based prayer. And God, we just trust You. We know that this whole relationship is based upon grace through faith, and this not in of ourselves. It's a gift. It's salvation. It's Lord, and we just love You. We submit ourselves to You. Lord, I recklessly abandon my entire schedule to You, my heart, my will, my emotions, my calendar, the noise in my life. I surrender it to You. Lord, and I just ask You that whether it be, Lord, through those things and through other people speaking in my life, Lord, I welcome that. I grant that. Lord, I grant that opportunity to be fulfilled in my life. But Lord, if it's in the silence and if it's not through those things, I will not call You a silent and a distant and arbitrary God just because I don't get it the way that I want. Lord, I trust You that You are helping me grow. You are causing me to become a better Spirit-led follower of You. So Lord, I welcome that. I welcome Your pruning. I welcome Your patience. I think about the proverb in chapter 16 that said, better a patient man than a warrior. Sometimes, Lord, we take up the shield and we take up the sword, and Lord, we're ready to fight. We're ready to do our own battles and to fight our own wars. And sometimes You're just asking us to be patient, to be a patient man or woman. So Lord, we don't put time constraints on that. And tonight, for those that may have questions about the position or the orientation in their lives, we remember how God reminded Elijah, what are you doing here? Before and after this wonderful theophany, Lord, where You showed up to him, You ask him the question, what are you doing here? So maybe it boils down to not the answers we get or don't. But maybe it boils down to, what are we in this thing for? Maybe we've forgotten our purpose in serving You. Perhaps there was a day when answers were less important than knowing you. Father, may we more than anything desire to know your will for our lives. May we pray as our Lord Jesus prayed, that thy will be done, not mine, but yours. So God, tonight we welcome that. I thank you, Lord, for providing for us and being a God that is interactive with us, that left his Spirit here to continue on working on us and empowering us, comforting us, and giving us a shalom that passes all of the understanding that we have in this world. Father, I love you. May we not be uncomfortable with silence. May we embrace your voice. May we heed its obedient call. Father, I love you. We accept this in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen and amen. Well, blessings to you tonight. Thank you for being here. I encourage you to stay around and talk a little bit to your friends and family around you. Thank you guys for coming here tonight. Don't forget, next week our panel, it's going to be a great time. Invite a friend. It's going to be a great, fun evening, and you will have a chance to ask questions next week after we go through a list of them. So thank you, guys. God bless. Check out the information table if you want information on the race or at Convoy of Hope or the M&Ms. God bless. Have a great one.